Welcome back to Hideous Tomfoolery, y'all. How are we doing? Ready to start part three of Attack of the Swarm?
Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Steve's ready. I wasn't, but now I am. Thank you.
All right, good. That's why I'm here.
We appreciate it, Steve.
Too bad this isn't a visual medium where you'd see him do the super anime peace sign with the head bob and everything.
It's my new speciality.
I like it a lot.
I'm just okay.
He engaged cutesy pose in Monster Hunter
and,
World.
And that is an emote in Monster Hunter for what it's worth.
But. And now I'm interested in that game all of a sudden. So, okie dokie. All right. You're going to get me there one of these days.
Just for the poses. Don't fight any monsters.
No. Just hang out in town.
Well, I got to do something because fucking Animal Crossing was a bust.
Really?
Wow. Hot take.
That is a hot take.
No, it's not. It's a perfectly legitimate take because that game is silly. I agree with you. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
No, I agree. I knew it would be
boring.
Everybody
loves it.
That's why I was like,
yeah.
No, I'm not going to buy it. I know what this game is.
I'm disappointed in my purchase. That's what it comes down to.
Nintendo.
God dang it, Nintendo.
Why didn't you get that refund?
I don't know. Because, you know, I don't support the... I don't know.
What? What was that?
It was like she almost wanted to make a stand about something and was like, I don't even have the vocabulary for this.
I don't know if it was vocabulary, it was just like the care, the gumption.
You literally cut yourself off with a drink. You were like mid sentence and you're just like, I don't know. And started drinking. It was,
drink, yeah.
I mean, that.
Priorities.
That speaks Price. Volumes, man.
Yeah, that does speak volumes. That's a pretty great way to get away with not having to finish your statement.
Everybody's got a gimmick.
Well, speaking of gimmicks.
Hey.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Got there.
Emily, since you just drank, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking some Southern Prohibition Brewing Company's Devil's Harvest. It's my favorite.
I'm so proud of you for getting all that out. You did a really good job.
It was a struggle.
Sounds
if
like
she,
it.
If
speaking
she
of a
knew
struggle,
who William Shatner was, we could make a joke here.
Yeah. Speaking of a struggle, Heath, I saw you take a shot before we started recording. You drinking something now, bud?
Yeah, I've got like two shots lined up next to it. I basically just like stole three shots of vodka from my roommate because I didn't have time to go like get anything. So I've got like three shots of vodka and just Powerade.
That's how you end up on TikTok, Heath. That's how you end up on TikTok.
She's not here.
Heath, you live so like hand to mouth with your booze. I swear I've never recorded anything with you that wasn't preceded by like, I just got back from the grocery store. I just got back. I got three beers. I got my 124 ounce. Let's go.
He's the opposite of a prepper when it comes to booze. Yeah,
carries no safety stock.
I'm not a horribly prepared man.
Well, speaking of not horribly prepared, hey, Adam.
Hey. yeah, that's about right, I think, you know. I'm drinking Bullet Rye, kind of my go-to bourbon drink.
Out of a bowl.
Out of a bowl.
I can't even.
It's a beautiful bowl.
I mean, it looks
bourbon.
Nice,
it is
man,
a beautiful handcrafted bowl that his wife made.
Yeah.
But it's not a bowl, dude.
It's like a rice bowl.
It's weird because like,
but it is a bowl. Can we clarify? Yeah, well,
I mean, it's a mug without a handle.
So a bowl.
Grow up and throw some pea soup in there.
All right.
See, it's literally, it's not even like a, like I have a mug right here that I can show you that is straight up and down, like shaped like a mug. Even if I took the handle off, it'd be a mug. That is like the teacup shape that without a handle.
It's a rice bowl full of whiskey. I mean, I'm here for it, Adam.
Yeah, well, all about it.
Look, when I was in my old rock and roll band back in the day, we refused to drink any of our liquor out of glass vessels. So we always drank our liquor out of mugs or ceramic mugs. And so like And, you know, this is before
I met Rock and Roll. Grace,
but so it was are just you like weird- the only holdout of this? Like, does the rest of the band do this too? Or is it just you now, years later?
No, no. I just want to... I'm almost certain that Judson isn't allowed to have glass anywhere near him. So so I would think probably the ceramic mug still... And then, like, Joel is hipster enough to probably still be doing ceramic mugs. And I married a potter, so... Here I am.
What an odd stance to make.
I know. I have so many questions.
We were a weird band. We were a weird band, man. We had like a wall. Well, yeah, this was Chance Fisher. I don't play with them anymore. Or that band doesn't exist anymore. But yeah. We're still weird people.
There we go.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Speaking of weird people.
There it is. Steve, what you drinking?
Hey, buddy. I have begun my cultural appropriation of the South. I am drinking a strawberry lager from Abita Brewing.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, there you go. I saw this in the pick six. You know, different craft beers at my liquor store, and I was like, you know what? I'll give it a shot.
You know, my cousin's sister got murdered over trying to get some of that.
Is that true?
What is happening tonight?
Wait, what?
Zach, I got nothing off of that. What are you drinking?
Man, I am drinking an Elysian Space Dust IPA, Griff.
I mean, did you get murdered over it? Speaking
no.
of get, got murdered over, what the fuck, Adam? What is this? First he's drinking out of fucking bowls, and now he's like casually talking about people he knows that are murdered?
Well, they didn't really get murdered. I was just saying that beer used to be like a real hot ticket item. You know, like people used to fight over.
So it was a figure of speech that you just made sound a lot like she got killed in front of a liquor store.
I did not track that.
I get it. It's good.
Can I throw out some legit goodness for you?
Shoot.
The next time, look for Andy Gator as well as that strawberry.
Will do.
And do them halfy halves.
Yeah, yeah.
And get a like strawgator. Josh-
Well, speaking of halfy halves, I'm drinking a Vizzy that's halfy half pineapple and mango.
There you go.
All right.
That's pretty good.
Wait to bring it all in.
Yeah, just got to bring it back because I can already feel like he's drinking whiskey out of bowls. And I don't know. I don't want to look whiskey GM in the mouth, or like a gift whiskey GM in the mouth, but... Like, by the same token, he's bringing a little bit of a weird energy to start this episode. I'm a little worried about. So.
Yeah.
Griffin, if you look whiskey GM in the mouth, you'll probably find whiskey.
Oh, my God. Emily.
What?
Oh, wow. She really got herself.
What is wrong with you people?
She doubled over laughing at that one.
Boy.
She's still laughing.
Boy.
Well, y'all, it was a good show. Sorry we didn't make it to the end of book one, but
it was fun.
We tried. We gave it our damnedest.
We've officially fallen apart here. whoo wee. I'm a little punchy. This is like my, I think, fifth day in a row playing a different game.
Damn.
Yeah. So I'm a little scrambled. But I'm here for it, and we're going to get started on part three of book one of Attack of the Swarm. And, you know, before we get into it too much, you guys, I mean, you guys, it's been a minute since we've actually got together and actually got to play. I know you guys did a Zone of Truth recently together, but it's nice to have all of you around my virtual table. And I always get really excited about the Hideous Tomfoolery episodes because I think it's a fun little show we got going on here. How are you guys feeling? You guys ready? Do you remember what's going on?
You want to tell us what happened last time, Adam?
I will. For the listeners.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, it's for the list. We clearly know what happened.
Well, the swarm is after the last case of Abita strawberries. So,
yep, that tracks. I remember
so
that
you
now.
You can say things are getting pretty dicey.
It's getting pretty heated.
And Adam's so excited to record Hideous Tomfoolery that he broke out the nice bowls.
So. I did. The real foin choina. Okay, so little recap time. You guys have kind of been just in front of the encroaching swarm this entire adventure so far. You know, the Midnight Squad went out for what was supposed to be a normal, just patrol, and all hell broke loose, and the swarm attacked en masse. And so, after a series of long hikes and harrowing encounters, you arrived at Fort Gallant and realized that Susquehn has been lost. And you were given orders to help with the convoy from there to Rayo City, and it was there that the commander Najiri gave you your most recent orders, which you just accomplished, which was to go to the Temple of Hylax and extract the Shirin priest that is there. He apparently has some information about the swarm, potentially why they are attacking here, what the deal is. You get there, you get him, he's a little reluctant to leave, but after a battle in the temple itself, he sees kind of the severity of the situation, and he goes with you, or he decides to go with you. And that's kind of where we're starting now, because you guys have very, very little time to get back to Rayo City for the evacuation, which you just got over your comms, something that kind of suggests that you have moments to get back, and you're 4 hours away from Rayo City. And so that's where kind of we're going to start with your characters, but before we get into that, I'd like to open part 3 with a flashback, and we need to establish what we're going to do on this show for flashbacks, because we can't do doodly-doos. That's already taken. Sorry. Can't do it. What do y'all think we should do for the group flashback sound for Hideous Tomfoolery?
Weren't we doing Inception Was? Isn't that the thing?
It's already precedent.
Is that everybody's
best? You gotta
best?
Like count it off though, man, because otherwise we're gonna get a bunch of like horribly timed quads.
Otherwise we're gonna sound unprofessional.
Most podcasts have like a drop for this.
We're gonna sound like people that don't drink out of bowls.
Good luck.
Alright, so I need everybody to Inception Wall at the same time. I'll give us a countdown. Here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Killed it. We'll get better, I promise.
No,
our doodly doos get better. This will get better.
Got it. One.
I have no doubt. All right. Vinian Jacobson Harville nervously ran his thumb over the smooth skull and crossbone pendant he wore around his neck as his boarding skiff launched from their flagship, the Tenebris Scylla. He looked around the cabin at his crewmen and noticed Fletcher eyeing him apprehensively. Vin furrowed his brow and exchanged stern nods with the man. Vinny had a bad feeling about this raid, but he couldn't let the boys know that. Hesitation was a sign of weakness, and weakness was rarely tolerated on the Scylla. It wouldn't matter much to the crew if he was the captain's son. Squibs were squibs, and squibs got spaced. Those were the rules, and Vinny understood them as well as anyone. Veniva the Dread was fearless and expected the same from her crew. So he pushed the lingering unease down as far as into the back of his mind as he could and braced himself for impact. Within seconds, the boarding tunnel had latched its claws into the hull of their target, the copper carriage. Vin locked his skull-faced helmet into place and swiftly moved through the tube with his crewmates, weapons drawn as they breached into the hold. Vin rather enjoyed raiding corporate vessels. Those fat corporate fucks had plenty of cash to spare. He still liked to imagine the sweating and red faces in the boardrooms once word got back that their precious cargo had been raided. Fletcher dumped 4 rounds into the chest of the welcoming committee, and the two men promptly went limp. Their bodies slumped down onto the desk. Served them right, risking their necks for some bigwigs back on Absalom Station. A third defender, this one much stronger than the first two, took some concentrated fire to bring down. The pirates cackled at the sight of the big man bleeding out on the floor.
"Shouldn't be many more, Vinny. Check for the pilot, lad. Fletch, Coop, secure the cargo,"
Judge barked. Judge was a salty old dog. He'd been with the Scylla for many years, and was one of his mother's most trusted mechanics. Vin turned to find the pilot spun around in his chair, laser rifle pointing straight at him. Through his visor, Vin could see unbridled fury in the pilot's eyes. He raised his blaster to fire, but the pilot had the jump. The dark-haired human man squeezed the trigger, and for a split second, Vin knew he'd been outgunned. The man's eyes burned, and he growled with an almost primal roar, but the report from the blaster never sounded. Vin was confused, his sentiment mirrored in the pilot's eyes. He then heard Judge cackle loudly. No doubt he had overloaded the laser rifle, saving Vin's life.
He liked a gotcha, Vinny boy. Bet you was pissing you on your knickers. Ha 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 ha, Fletch, come help Vinny space this to your corp of trash.
Vin quickly snatched the laser rifle from the pilot and threw it aside. Then he and Fletcher each grabbed an arm and carried the still screaming man over to the airlock. They tossed him out of the ship and watched him drift aimlessly out into space. Fletcher pointed out they'd left his helmet on, and they bade Vinny finish the job. So, he took aim and fired a single blast from his laser pistol. He was never quite the marksman that some others were, but his shot went a little wide, merely grazing the poor sod's helmet.
Ah, well, let him float. Let's grab the loot and scram.
Fletcher shrugged and left to go tend to the hall. Vin followed suit and helped load up the plunder. On the skiff, Cooper fired up the engines and unlocked the boarding tunnel from the target ship. Fletcher and Judge were carrying the final box over to the tunnel, just behind Vin. And suddenly, the hair on the back of Vin's neck stood up and a shiver went down his spine. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw a flash of purple light. He looked back at and the ship, and as well as his crewmates, were gone. Standing in their place was vast, empty star space. Vin's eyes went wide and he turned again, bounding up the tunnel as fast as his mag boots would let him run, shouting,
Coop! Coop! Let's get the ever-loving fuck out of here! They're gone! Judge! Fletch! The whole bloody goddamn ship! They're coming for us next, lad! Take us back to the Scylla!
The fuck you on about, mate?
Cooper protested. But Vin had already slung him aside out of the pilot's chair and was engaging the thrusters before he could receive an answer. Vin gripped his necklace and muttered an incomprehensible mix of curses and prayers to Besmara as the skiff set off for the pirate's flagship. His mother, Viniva the Dread, would be waiting for him with several questions Vin knew he couldn't answer. And so, yeah, we come back to the present, kind of, and we see Vin driving the truck from the temple towards Lin Mari. As you get to Lin Mari, it's only an hour journey. You get there and you see that it has been completely evacuated. So all the efforts that you took to make sure that Rita Cooper gave the fuel back to the townsfolk there, you can see that that was done, as it is left empty, not a soul in Lin Mari. You've got about a 3-hour journey on your way back to Rayo City, and I'd like to take this opportunity to kind of have your characters have some moments with each other. So who's riding shotgun with Vin?
I think Sig rides shotgun. This time, and I know he hasn't in the past. He's usually the eyes on the back of the truck with Yuvari, but he gets in the front and he, like, you can see him push the seat all the way back and he, like, tries to get Betty situated in there. Maybe I should just throw him in the back. but yeah, he sits shotgun with Vin, and I think as we leave Lin Mari, he would turn to Vin. I don't really know how much time we got. It seems like from that transmission, we We might be a little bit too late, man.
Mate, I hope not. It's the only chance we got.
I just wanted to... I wanted to say thanks back there. That, I wasn't expecting that fucking bug to just unleash 10 of its little shitty babies at me.
Yeah, that was pretty gross, wasn't it?
I think without you burning the fuck out of them, I would have been dead back there.
Well, hey, mate, if you hadn't pushed that big dragon lady in the back there, I'd have been dead too. So, we'll call it even, yeah?
Yeah. We'll call it square.
I appreciate you. Yeah, well, hey, thanks for having my back.
Look, I didn't really peg you as the kind of guy that would be all in on helping these people. I know it's kind of a group vote, and I know your option probably didn't get picked, but I just want you to know, even if we don't make it off this rock, we did a good thing back there. I mean, we saved 100 more lives for each one of ours. Even if you don't really think it was the right thing, I think you can, we can all at least head into oblivion knowing that we did a good thing at the end.
Well, appreciate you saying that, Sig. I got a lot of atoning to do, if you know what I mean. But if we saved just one life, I guess it'd be worth it.
If we do make it off of here, where are you headed?
I got nowhere to go back to, mate. Wherever y'all going, I reckon. Let's fight the swarm.
Yeah, I think we're getting pretty skilled at that. I'm kind of surprised. We're kind of kicking the shit out of this swarm.
Yeah, I hope our luck stays that way, but I gotta admit, it is pretty fun squishing bugs with you.
I like to do a lot of the squishing, but I do appreciate folks like you and the rest of the crew having my back, because Betty can only protect me so much.
And he, like, pats a shield that's, I guess, probably, like, in between his legs, just like...
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, right? It's
like, yeah.
It's pretty massive shield. Like, is it like a tower shield, or like...
It's...
Is it squared? Is it like a riot shield?
It's like a riot shield, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering, man. I know you might have described it before, but...
But, like, unlike a riot shield, it's like a big hunk of iron instead of, like, a flexible carbon or something that would be easy to lift.
Yeah, this thing is massive. Like, it's obviously super heavy.
For sure.
Yeah, okay. Well, stay behind that thing, mate, and I think you'll be all right.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of better chair in Betty. I think it's, hopefully she can save your ass, too.
Well, that'd be all right with me. You like Credence, and he'll turn the radio on.
Oh,
nice,
hell yeah.
Well, there's also the three of you in the back with Zlonin. You know, you have Natasi, Tex, Yavari, and Zlonin in the kind of in the bed of the truck under the tarp. As you're driving, it's this eerie landscape of emptiness, and it's very cold as a snowstorm kind of blusters against the fabric of the covering of the back of the truck. So imagine the three of you along with Zelona are kind of huddled in the back. What are y'all talking about on the way back to Reyes?
So seeing that we are headed off planet and had picked up some armor from some other fallen soldiers, Natasi's probably wrapping up getting into that new armor, and in doing so has to reorganize all her gear, go through the medical pack, count all, check the dermal stapler. She drops the half-used battery magazine out of her azimuth laser pistol, puts a new one in there, that kind of stuff. And as she's running through all the gear, that feels kind of second nature to her. She looks up at Ivari and Tex, and kind of out of nowhere, maybe there's not a lot of conversation happening in the back, she'll just say, "Headed back towards the city, I can't tell if this is the beginning or the end of our adventure. And Ivari, Tex, I don't know where you came from, and frankly, you don't know where I've come from. I don't feel like that matters so much. But where we're going, I think, is very important. I don't know the answer to that question. But once we drop off our friends alone in here with Commander Najiri, I fear that there will be more swarm to fight. Do you two intend to continue the fight with us? I believe that Sigurd follows orders. I'm sure he'll continue to stop the swarm, and Finian I don't have quite as good of a read on, but I get the idea that he may be in it for a paycheck. And as long as some sort of military or defense force is willing to finance him and put him up, he might not have anywhere else to go either."
Well, I think what we're doing here, like we've said before, is a good thing. I can appreciate the cause, and I want to keep, you know, if I can save some people, we should save some people. I've never been a, you know, paragon of morality, but I definitely don't want to just see people die needlessly to these bugs trying to take over the whole damn universe. I mean, I try to get mine, but a whole universe, that's a little greedy.
The way you treated those people that were, oh, what was it? The booger slime, we called it? Leads me hard to believe that you've never been a paragon of the downtrodden.
I've been a lot of things.
I see. And your soul-bonded partner, Ivari, do you share the same sentiments? Would you come along for the next stage of this journey?
And Ivari's just kind of been watching you both sort of, like, back and forth,
I think I've also been, like, changing into my new armor, because we both got new armor. So, like, there probably wasn't a lot of conversation to begin with, because, like, you started undressing, and then Tex is like, "The lady's undressing." And then, like, oh, armor. And I was like, "Yeah, I need to do that as well." So he started changing into armor.
Ivari's kind of looking back and forth, and she waits for Tex to finish, and then she says, "We are doing a good thing here. It's important for us to," and she kind of cuts eyes over at Tex, "continue to do good, to make up for past transgressions. They will continue to let us fight. This is a worthwhile cause. I wanna keep fighting wherever that is."
And at that final phrase, the glowing red eye that Natasi has left grows a shade brighter. "You intend to keep fighting. I can keep you fighting."
All right, how?
You get that now, Adam.
Yeah, he does.
Sorry.
Hey.
Yep.
I think kind of like on the down low, like now we kind of settled into our armor or whatever, and Tex turns to Natasi and is like, "Hey, I wanted to thank you for you took care of me and got me up after what's his face with all the Y's in his name nuked me. So I appreciate you being there and getting me up, and I wanted to offer you something, just a token of my appreciation. And I want Tex is going to give you a piece of equipment called a restraining spinneret.
Could probably make use of that.
You can use that to trip up enemies if you see an opportunity. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool little gizmo. I just wanted to give you something.
And Natasi accepts it with two hands. She's not good at accepting gifts. She doesn't get them. And then cocks her head to the side a little bit, reaches into the recently reorganized medical bag, and pulls out a little extra burn salve for you. You did get extra crispy, and if you're going to continue to be the primary face and negotiator of this party, let's keep that face pretty. How don't we do that?
I like both of those points because I do still have some burns that hurt a lot. And I'm all about staying as pretty as I can. He like flips his, not mullet, I don't think quite, but he's got like long hair pulled back and he's got like chops,
Mullet.
It's not a full mullet. No.
It's Isn't full it on though? Tiger King.
Yeah, bleach mullet, that's baby. Terrible. That's terrible. No. He's just Southern. He's not like trashy.
He's from Texas, not Oklahoma.
Exactly. Jesus. Right. Standards.
Cool. But yeah, I mean, he really does appreciate like burn salve would mean a lot right now, both for the vanity of being a charisma character and for he was in a rough way, so he appreciates you guys not letting him die.
I mean, you didn't die, man. You were fine, dude. Come on.
You were fine. I didn't die despite you. Not because of you, despite you.
Literally everyone thought you died.
Yeah, let's not ruin this wonderful tender moment between party with the past.
Oh, no. I mean, this is tied into the past. He's literally, cutting his eyes over at Vinny every now and then. Doesn't trust him and,
can't hear you over the credence, bro.
Yeah, the credence is just jamming.
The credence to the front.
He's just, shooting the finger guns at you this...
We're not paying attention. Sig pulls out a flask, hands it over.
Hell yeah, dude.
I mean, credence is cool.
Takes a sip.
There's no one else
credence
on the road.
Is cool and all, but have you heard of Ram Jam?
Check out this my power own tape.
I made it myself. I mean, you guys are kind of having these conversations about the past and also the future, I mean, you know that Siskillen is lost, and I think a lot of you don't really have anywhere to go from here. And it sounds like that separately, but as a group, you guys have kind of made the decision that you're here now, and the fight against the swarm is kind of what's in front of you, has become your path, whether it was intended to be or not. And with these thoughts on your mind, you arrive at the northern outskirts of Rayo City. The snow is falling quite hard at this point. The city is eerily quiet, and you see no signs of any ships flying above. No evacuation protocols, nothing. It's just quiet and empty and ruined. However, there are a few fires burning on the metropolis's western side, their smoke barely visible through the snowfall. As you continue to get closer to the city, the congestion gets so bad that you eventually have to abandon your vehicle and make the rest of your way into the city on foot. You climb over ruined cars, shrapnel, dead bodies of the swarm, dead bodies of the citizens of Siskillen, many dead bodies of the SDF. And as you finally make your way into the city proper, your comm units start to ping with an incoming message. Not so much like a live communication, but like a recorded message, you have a new voicemail, so to speak. All of your comm units start to notify you that there's a new message.
I mean, we pull it up, right? Like, let's, yeah. Let's listen to it.
So you pull it up, and kind of, poof, you know, kind of showing up out of your...
Yeah, I mean, Vin's got a hollow...
Right, out of your wrist, units or whatever. You see the face of Commander Najiri pop up in a recorded message. It says, Midnight Squad, do you read me? Evacuation ended last night when Command had to call back air support from over Rayos. Are you just getting to the evacuation zone? Your signal is very weak. But if you are hearing this, get to the spaceport and find some way off Siskelion. There is a massive swarm army to the south that is making its way toward you. And the only way you'll be able to outrun it is in a starship. Save whoever you can and get out of there now. Rendezvous on Utranius.
Does anybody know?
Well, that don't sound good.
Where the fuck Utranius is?
Y'all can roll a culture or a physical science, whichever you're best at.
Bro, I set up for this and didn't even bring my dice over here. What am I doing?
I have points in culture.
Give me 10 seconds to get my dice.
Oh, baby, put it on the board. First natural 20 of the night.
Oh, shit.
Nice. So
that's first 25 20. Culture.
Never mind, I probably 20. Actually know.
I'm as unprepared as Steve. I gotta grab my notebook.
I got a 24 on the physical science.
Well, I don't have either of those things, so... No.
Yvari has no idea.
Yvari is like... Yvari heard... Spaceship? And is like, that's all she heard.
Swarm Horde.
No. Swarm Horde South. Nah. Spaceships to outrun
spaceship
it.
Spaceship is on the way. That's not good.
This was a culture?
Culture or physical science.
All right. Well, I already rolled and I don't have physical science, so it would be a 19 total. I think I heard you got a natural 20.
Yeah, I got a 25 total.
All right. What did everybody get on your rolls there?
25 culture for Sig.
Okay.
24 physical science.
19 culture for Natasi.
Okay.
I don't have culture.
Do you have physical science?
Nope.
Nope. We are the dynamic duo. We don't know shit.
Okay. Well, the rest of you know that Utranius is the third planet in the Siskelion system. So it's another planet in this star system, and it's where they are. Apparently, evacuating too. And that's kind of where it looks like most of the Siskelion refugees are going to.
Okay, well, can I pull up like a Google Earth or a Google Siskelion and like see where that spaceport is?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, once you get a starship, you'll be fine.
Well, no, I think mean, we like, mean like here. The way to the spaceport.
Oh, so you're just kind of walking. Yeah, I mean, you kind of already know. You've been to Rayos, so it's not particularly difficult to find the spaceport. But you got to make your way through the city first. So you've gotten this message. You guys know where Utranius is, and you're on the outskirts of Rayos. And I want to show you guys a piece of art that I found that I think kind of captures the vibe. The sun setting on this once great city, now in ruins.
It looks like shit. Everything's falling apart.
It's not great. It's not great at all. You do happen to know that the smoke that's coming from the west is in the direction of the spaceport. So... there seems to be at least some activity at the spaceport. What it is, you don't know. It's really hard to tell through the snowfall, but there is some sort of sign of a fire in that direction.
I mean, does it look like it's a big burn pile, like a fire, or like it's an industrial, like, you know, tubes that are letting out smoke or something?
It looks like ruins, you know, smoke coming from recently blasted ruins. It's kind of a deep, rich black smoke.
Not great.
I mean, like, so the spaceport got jacked up as well?
Well, it's hard to tell from here. As I said, there's a snowstorm, so you'd certainly have to get closer to the spaceport.
Doesn't look good.
Yeah, so you guys are, like, making your way through the city, and you see all these skyscrapers on the left and right of you with their windows blown out, and again, like, abandoned vehicles and dead bodies just all through the streets of Rayo City. And I just imagine this has got to really kind of spook you out if you can imagine yourselves walking down these narrow corridors with these huge skyscrapers that are just lifeless and empty. Nobody walking the streets, and the only sign of even biology that you've seen are dead carcasses, right?
Reminds me of The Division. Did you guys ever play that?
Of what?
The Division?
The Division.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, or
wintertime, like, in New York, and just bodies.
I Am Legend, that kind of deal too, you know, like. As you kind of get towards the spaceport's perimeter, you see these huge columns of black smoke rising into the sky. The smell of burning Thasteron-based fuel hangs in the air. Dozens of destroyed ships lie scattered across the spaceport's various landing pads, their frames broken and melted. Some of the control towers and private hangars still stand, though most of them have succumbed to the flames. Everybody roll a perception check.
Yeah, this doesn't look good, guys.
Hood right, on the board, that's a nat 20.
Because that's a natty 1.
So we got a nat 20 for Southern Typhoon and a nat 1 for
Hideous. So fucking laughter. Close. I got a natural 19.
Okay.
What does that go to?
It's not going to be as much as yours, I'm sure.
I imagine my 7.
It's going to go to a 21. 28.
28.
Guess I'll just go fuck myself.
Hey, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, it's funny. It's fine. Yeah, those of you...
It's fine because I rolled a 6.
Yeah, all of those... All of you that rolled above a 20 or 20 or above can see kind of... Emerging out of the shadows and the smoke is a small group of people, evacuees, and they all look like battered and bruised and injured, and they're kind of shuffling along the periphery of the spaceport, kind of, and they start moving their way towards you. Leading them is an older woman, and she kind of raises her arm and hand at you in a kind of weary, frightened greeting. She says, hello there.
I kind of bounce from where I'm at to the front of the truck, I guess, like behind Vin.
Well, you're not in the truck. You're walking.
You're on your bar.
Walking
back.
Now? Oh, I'm sorry. Man. Then I'll talk to her if everybody's cool with that.
Yeah, she says hello. What do you say?
Howdy there, ma'am.
Keep in mind, you got burn cream all over your face.
No,
he looks like Robin Williams when he's doing the Mrs. Doubtfire thing with the cream pie in his face.
No, we're not doing that bit.
Hello.
Stragglers. No, it was like an aloe vera, so it's clear.
Just very shiny.
You're just really shiny. You're just really shiny.
I mean, it like goes away pretty quickly. Just saying.
So what do you say?
Hey there, ma'am. Is there something we can do to help you?
What is your name there, Sonny?
I'm Tex.
Tex. My name is Kalora Kishi, and I'm on the city council here in Rayos. These others and I were headed for the last transport off the planet when a wing of swarm starships descended on the spaceport and destroyed every vessel in sight. We were blown back by the explosions. And when we came to, the SDF had already left. And we couldn't contact them to let them know that we had survived the blast.
We've been searching for an undamaged starship since then, but we haven't been able to find anything.
And at this point, you guys can kind of start to make out some of the faces of the evacuees that are with her. And among them, you see the family that you rescued. They did not make it back in time, apparently, as they are still here. And
that old see, blue hair bitch.
No, you don't see her. Okay. You see Xantos Loachwort. He says, "Oh my god, these people are here again. We are doomed as if this is our only hope."
You can cool it with that fucking tone, mate. You're the one asking for favors.
What? Wait, hold on.
Oh, I'm you. Wrong game. Wrong game. Dude, it's so hard. Shut up, Pete Steele.
It's literally a southern accent.
No.
Which you have.
I know, but I'm so used to playing a fake British accent.
Adam's yeah. southern accent threw him off.
Yeah, it really did. Well, because it's so plantation owner.
Listen to this man. He cannot even speak like he normally does. He is not going to help us. Man, none of these people are going to help us.
Like I said in a different accent earlier, you can chill the fuck out with that. Y'all are the ones asking for favors.
I'm not asking for any favors.
All right, then piss off.
Especially not from you.
Hey, Natasi, you better check the crowd for the injured.
The old lady says, "Now, Dr. Loachwort, please simmer down. These people look like they might be able to help us, and you sure as hell haven't come up with any ideas yourself. All you've been doing is grousing and grumbling this whole time, and you only took a forehead scratch. Little Sally over there broke her leg. Now shut up."
As she's kind of talking, Yavari would be like non-threateningly making her way to check on the family. And just kind of like, because she remembers them, she just want to kind of check in, make sure that they're okay.
Mm-hmm. They're okay. I mean, they have some minor burns and few scratches and bruises all over them, but they're standing, but they look scared. And as you're looking, you can see the morale of this entire group is pretty low. And while despite Xantos's statements, they obviously are looking to you to help them because they have not been able to find any way off the planet, and they're almost, you can see that this kind of resignation on their faces, that they're all kind of look like the walking dead already, you know what I mean, but that there's like a little bit of hope when they see, you know, five able-bodied SDF dressed folks in front of them.
Yeah.
So are there any ships like that are that maybe look like they might work if they got a little help?
No, they're all like smoldering ruins.
I think we need to ask this lady if there are any other options, if she's aware of anything. I mean, she said she was on the city council or something. That might be good for something. Or maybe this Loadsworth or whatever has got a private shuttle stashed away somewhere.
If I had a private shuttle, do you think I'd be standing here with the rest of you?
No.
You're correct. That's the first intelligent thing that you said.
That you while you guys sort out plans and shit, Natasi is going to default into trauma nurse mode, suggested by Sigurd, of course, and just see if there's anybody who needs like some minor first aid or anything in the crowd while this is happening.
What Natasi. Was her name again?
No.
I wrote it down.
Her name is
Kello Worse Kishi.
No.
Close.
Kalora Kishi.
I had that as one word, by the way.
That was pretty close. I thought it was pretty... I thought it was one word as well. But
it's Kalora Kishi.
Thank you.
I think you did a good job, Steve.
It,
I think you were pretty close, man.
Just kind of mashed up a little bit of the Loachwurst in there. It's all good. Okay, so that is her name. Kalora, you can call her.
Yeah.
Or council, or Councilwoman Gishi, if you feel so inclined. You know.
You're not into the whole brevity thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're... Are we at the spaceport?
You're like on the, you're like at the fences of the spaceport, basically. Like on the very on the edges of the spaceport.
Well, I mean, we've either got to find a ship. I mean, we're all the late crew here. We're all in the same boat.
That's why they call us Midnight Squad.
Credits.
Right, right.
Oh, is that the name that you've called yourselves?
Says Zalonin, just as a reminder that he's still there.
Hey, buddy. Yep, that's what they call us.
I thought that you were taking me off this planet. It looks as if though there is no plan to leave. I wonder if leaving the temple was the right thing to do after all.
Of course, with this.
Okay, so the councilwoman said that they couldn't. The ships are gone; they're out of range. Is that
for a ships? Call? You know the ships are gone because of the communication you got from Commander Jiri. If you want to leave, you have to find a starship, is what she said. Because okay, they're already gone.
Like, I mean, Ven will kind of go in and say, "Excuse me, Mum. I don't suppose you happen to know where another starship is, huh?"
I wish that I could be more help for you, to you, Sonny, but we have searched this entire surface and we cannot find one.
And about that point, your comm units chirp with an incoming transmission, and a tiny spacecraft kind of flies overhead and starts hovering over the top of you. And when you guys pull up your communications, you see the picture of, yes, that blue-haired girl, Anicia, if you remember, that's her name.
Dad
and she's got a smirk on her face, and she's hovering in this small little, like, single-person starship above you. And she says, "Hi, we saw you were all in a bit of trouble down there. Unfortunately, the ship has room for only 3 people. Me, myself, and I. But I do have a lead on another vessel that never made it out of its hangar here at the spaceport. And, well, because you looked the other way when I was just trying to do me business, perhaps I can help you out here."
Go on.
So she goes on to tell you that there is a private hangar in the spaceport, and that she is the daughter of a crime lord.
Shocking.
And says that she knows of a rebel crime lord that did not survive the attack, and she just knows from some of her father's business that he has a nice, luxurious starship in private hangar 7. However, she notes the reason that this probably has not been found. Hey, it's the tight security about it, I'm sure. Listen, I'm going to get out of here, but I figured I'd give you a bit of a clue before I left. Thanks for not turning me in, and
she takes off. I'm obviously not trying to talk to this girl, especially if she flew away, but can I do a sense motive on what she just said? Because this is the most plot convenient bullshit I have heard in my entire life.
Yes.
Yeah. Whenever you said she zoomed off, I was going to be like, thanks for the deus ex machina.
Well, it's really good we didn't kill that chick earlier.
I know, right.
The Griffin's got it down a little bit there. Let's go ahead and get that sense motive.
Can others do that as well?
Yeah, you can all roll it.
I'm just aiding. Yeah. I got a 17 to aid.
I don't aid.
I,
All right, so Natasi puts her head together with Tex, even though his head is greasy, covered with burnt salve. And we combined to get a 19.
Okay, yeah. I mean, so you can sense that she's as flippant as she's being, she's telling you the truth, and that she was genuinely thankful for you guys not turning her in to the authorities when she tried to pickpocket you. And kind of this is her thieves code of kind of scratching each other's back. She, you know, she was literally on her way out and saw you guys standing there looking around like with no hope and said, oh, well, these guys didn't fuck with me too bad. Here's a place where you can go to get it. So she tells you where the location of Private Hangar, where Private Hangar 7 is. And she does note to you, kind of stresses that there is a lot of security involved in it because it was a crime boss's hangar, and that the ship probably survived because it's underground, and that there's like a hatch that opens that it can fly out of, you know, it can emerge from underground through the surface, but that's probably why it survived, because there's, you have to have a lot of money to get an underground hangar here.
Yeah. And, now, did you say this was a rival crime lord or a rebel crime lord?
Rival.
Her daddy's a crime lord. This other cat is another crime lord.
Okay. I thought I heard rebel, and I was like, well, why does that matter? Everyone's dead.
Mm. Yeah, and I'm wondering what kind of fucking security is still hanging around securing...
Robots.
I'm guessing it's technological.
Yeah, it's robots.
I was just thinking
robots. That's gotta be robots.
Oh, well, y'all, she seems sweet. I think we should probably follow that lead. It's the best we got.
All right, so let's everybody roll a perception check to see if you can find it based on the direction she gave you.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Yavari has theme knowledge. DC of...
Yeah, but what knowledge? What
knowledge? Yeah. It everybody has theme
starships
knowledge.
Starships and vessels.
This is a stretch already.
maybe to know what underground hatch looks like.
The problem is it reduces the DC of culture checks, and she's untrained in culture.
Oh, God. All right, perception.
I got a lot going for me.
Sig's got a 17 15. Perception.
That's a 10.
Hot, 18.
A hot 11.
Okay, well, thank God for Tex, I guess. So you're able to lead the group towards the hangar. And when you get there, like at first you're like, well, there's nothing here. And then you realize that the small kind of shed that serves as the hangar door, like the door that goes down below, it's a small, like little, almost, you know, outhouse type shape. It's basically just a shelter that houses the top of the stairs. It had been covered in snow. But you're able to like, oh wait, that's there, and you dig out the snow with some of the help of these refugees who have followed you.
I was about to ask, did they all follow us? Because we didn't like say, hey, come on.
Zalondin was like, yes, these folks have promised to take me off this planet. Follow me as I follow them, for Hylax will take care of us.
And so he's kind of serving as collecting the refugees. And, you know, I think we've established before, too, he's a little very zealotous to Hylax and puts a lot of faith in Hylax.
No.
That being said, you get to the top of this stairwell. So it's a small little building. This door opens to the top of the stairwell that goes, you assume would go down. Of course, the door itself is locked.
Tight.
Let me take a peek at it. Let old Vin give it a shot. Yeah. And is it like a mechanics based lock or a computer based lock?
It's going to be an engineering check.
Engineering. I can assist.
I'm pretty decent at engineering. I mean, Vin is a technomancer after all. Wouldn't be the first lock he's picked.
Well, you've already aids, because I want to be able to roll something.
You did.
Okay.
It.
All right, do you aid?
Yes.
All right, so that is a 25 plus Yuvari's 2.
Yeah, so you're able to kind of jimmy the door open. Now, you do notice that it normally it is locked with computer security, but that there's no power to the security.
Okay.
So you're having to jimmy it open with engineering, and you are able to do that. And the door opens, and it's darkness. You know, like the stairs descend into utter darkness. And Zlonin kind of like...
You should head on without us for now. Who knows what dangers might look down there. I will take care of the refugees.
I want a sense motive on that.
Okay.
I think if anybody can chant something to hold back the swarm, it's probably him, right?
Yeah, it just felt real creepy the way he said it.
I think it's because of the bug lips.
I can't help how I talk. I don't speak the common in the most friendly manner. But I assure you, I am a religious follower of Hylax and her views of peace and friendship.
Now I want a sense motive.
Yeah. Hylax is a good aligned deity.
I'm
being a silly.
The survivors and I will hide here at the top of the stairs. If you find a vessel and are ready for us to leave, contact me and we will make our way to you. May the Forever Queen watch over you.
Real thought he was going to say, Force, be with you. He didn't.
Vin
will
look
okay.
to Sig and say, can you see in the dark, big guy?
Yeah, I'm good for some things.
After you, then. I have low light vision. I mean, I'm half...
That's not good.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Low light vision is no good.
So. No, only people with dark vision will be able to see, and there's total darkness.
Oh, no.
You're a drow, man. I thought drow would get that.
No, I have a red star.
You're a drow. You should have dark vision.
But Yuvari also has a bright weapon.
Oh, yeah.
Powered weapon.
So do you activate it?
Yeah.
Vin is a half drow, so he has low light vision.
Oh, this sucks. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, she said it, not me.
That's how you want to feel about it. I can't stop you.
All right. So you activate your light, right? Yeah. And so you see this set of metal stairs, kind of the grated metal stairs going down in a very nondescript hallway stairwell that goes down. As you guys are making your way down, about 100 feet to a simple steel door at the bottom of the staircase. There's an obvious security camera looking down toward the door, but you can, I mean, I'll just hand wave perceptions. You can see that there's no red light or anything on it. It doesn't seem to be powered, which would coincide with what you already learned at the top of the stairs. You know, there's no power to this station. But there is a security camera mounted right above the door. The door has a regular 9-digit numeric keypad on the wall next to it. What do you want to do?
Well, we can't hack it if there's no power. So can we engineer that door open as well?
So you could try to engineer the lock itself if you want.
I mean,
if
there's no
rip it open.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
maybe
you could also try
look,
that too.
See if it's, I don't know, like
stop
bugged.
You could, yeah. All right, so roll a perception. Everybody, roll a perception on the keypad and the door. We'll count that there.
Only a 10 for Sig.
14.
30-19. Dirty 20.
Okay.
I got 13. I'm just playing with my squawks companion.
you take a look, and I mean, the power's down, so I mean, you don't. It looks like a regular steel door, you know? So you can either try to break down the door, you could try to, like, hook a computer or a battery up to the keypad to
Can we do that?
You could try. You can try to do that. Or you can just try to do an engineering to just try to, like, get in there and literally fiddle with the mechanics of it to open the door.
I mean,
what are you highest on?
If I can hotwire that bad boy, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, does Vin have transfer charge?
You can use the battery for my zip stick.
I mean, I have batteries. I've got batteries on hand.
Spare batteries? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, just, like, hot wire it up, basically. Like, just pop the front off the control panel and just try to
You pull out, like, I don't know, a little pocket knife, I imagine, that Vinny might have, you know? A little kind of utility, you know? Something like that. And pop off the front panel so you can see the wires behind the 9-digit keypad. If you're hooking the battery up, let's get a computer's check.
Can anybody aid?
No.
I don't think they can. Ooh, that's pretty good. That's going to be a 24.
Okay, a 24 is enough to bypass, like, to kind of bypass the lock mechanism. However, none of you rolled enough on your perception check to notice that there is a trap. As an ear-piercing alarm starts to go off. Like blasting through the entire hangar. I need everybody to roll a fortitude save.
Fortitude save is dog shit.
I need you to finish your drinks because we'll see you.
Oh. No.
I'm the best man.
Everyone knows it's a flat check for me.
I have a zero to fortitude.
I didn't roll one yet.
Don't roll it from this year.